Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to episode 103 of the Player Podcast. Before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to the both old and new additions to our crew tuning in to listen to us do what we do, and that's talk video games. Every Thursday of every week, we gather around the virtual water cooler to discuss video games and the culture surrounding them. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. The Hoop Man, along with my co-host, only playable on PS5, Arsene Lakva.
Hey guys, I just want to let you guys know that I'm pretty fast. I'm so fast, in fact, that... You see, I already finished my message. You guys probably didn't even hear it, did you? Yeah, that's my SSD write speeds right there. So go ahead and buy me in November.
Now, holiday
right
2020.
Now, pre-order me right now. But and I won't tell you how much I cost though.
Oh, yeah. we'll get to that later. But joining us for the first time ever, our boy, local Seattleite, Brendan Doyle.
Hello. How's it going?
Brendan, esteemed journalist, always delivering us the hottest takes in our personal Discord.
Forum journalist on the spicy takes.
PlayStation expert.
Yeah,
Nomura expert.
Yeah, Nomura expert. I'll take that.
Long story short, I met Brendan at my first ever PAX for the first year I came to Seattle. I think you had also recently moved to Seattle, and we met up at the Kinda Funny PAX party along with our boy Jonathan. And ever since, the rest has been history. And we recently made a Discord with everybody in it, and it's just been pure chaos, man.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this goes, because I do a spicy character in the Discord, but I don't know if you guys know what I'm like, so you know the sarcasm there. I don't know how it's gonna translate here.
It'll be fun.
But yeah, this has already been a learning experience for me. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I've always wondered how people do the remote and line up the audio and everything. It's a lot simpler than I realized.
Yeah, man, we're not hardware experts over here. It's pretty simple, and everybody does it the same way, from what I've learned, for the most part.
Gotcha.
We're gonna jump into it because we got a lot to talk about. Because today is our PS5 reaction episode, so we're gonna talk about everything. We're going to talk about overall impressions. We're going to talk about the console hardware. We're going to talk about the games and just what this means for PlayStation as a whole. But before we jump into that, we will not skip tradition like I think we did last episode. We're going to see how everybody's doing outside of the gaming verse. What's everybody feeling like? What's everybody playing and all that stuff? So Arsene, kick us off. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing just fine over here. I gotta give big shout outs to my fiance, Angelique, because she got a promotion yesterday.
Wow,
she's
congratulations.
Been promoted to second level of consulting at her company. So I'm really proud of her. Wanted to put that out there in the podcast first. So Brink, go ahead and leave a nice little comment for her. I'll read it out to her.
Wait, before we go off tangent, I realized recently that I am 99% sure that I've met Brink in real life before.
No way.
And I think Brendan probably has met Brink as well, because
are we talking about the Disney Channel original movie Brink? What are we talking about here?
No, I'm not talking
about, we can talk about that
I'm
later.
Not talking about the original movie, and I'm not talking about the free running game that came out a while ago. Brink is a well-known listener to our podcast, always dropping comments on basically every episode, telling us how awesome that we are. Thank you. We don't pay him, by the way. And I realized that he made a comment recently saying, like, hey, I love PAX, like something, something. And I'm like, and he was like, yeah, I think that's where I met you guys. And I'm like, wait a second. I met Brink? And now I'm remembering. I'm like, yeah, I actually remember this guy, I think, perfectly. And we didn't see him last year, so there's a disconnect there. But I think Brendan had to have met him, and Jonathan had to have met him, because the party wasn't that large. There weren't that many people there.
2018?
The first one. 2018. The first one at the apartment.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I probably won't remember that. I was a little drunk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I was like, wow, I actually met Brink. And I don't remember if I told him about the podcast then. I mean, I'm assuming that's how he found out about it. But if that is how you found out about it, Brink, you're awesome, my guy. So hopefully, here's to meeting you, not this year, but next year at PAX, because it's canceled this year.
That's sadly, very sad.
Officially.
At least I can save up more money now to buy more things at PAX. That's more true. More Space Rucks.
More. You can buy your copy of Shot 1 2025 when it releases.
I will, for sure.
But anyways, I cut you off there. Please tell us what else is going on in your life.
You know, for me personally, not a damn thing, I'd say. It's I'm pretty much on... Oh, yeah, I guess I did beat Final Fantasy, but I don't know. That's pretty much the only other, like, important life update that I have on my end.
What's your rating of the game? Give us a grade rating.
Grade rating?
Yeah.
I'll say A minus.
I'll take it.
A minus on that one. But we can discuss that at a later time. I don't think this is the time to discuss Final Fantasy VII Remake, because that is a PS4 game.
You can't give it less than an A minus. It's Nomura. Come on.
That is true.
Exactly. There you go. Resident Nomura expert has spoken.
Exactly. But yeah, so I'll toss it over to whoever is next, whoever wants to give their little their spiel.
Brendan, give the folks at home, what do you do on a day-to-day basis? What's new with you? What's going on, and what's your plan?
Day-to-day basis, I sit at my desk coding stuff up. But yes, the past 4 months, that's been my life. I'm a software engineer here in Seattle, and that's pretty much all I need to know. And I play a lot of PlayStation and some Switch games every once in a while, not a lot of Switch in my life.
What are you on right now? Are you just like, what's the last game you played? Is it Final Fantasy?
That was the last big game I played, yeah. I turned on Rage 2 for about 45 minutes this weekend, and then I turned it right back off.
how deep are you into that?
About
45 minutes?
2 hours the second time I played it. Played an hour the first time.
Okay.
About 6 months ago. Played another hour this weekend, and probably another 6 months before I try it again.
Damn. You'll get through it one year.
Yeah. And then I play a lot of Rocket League. Most of my gaming, besides the big games that I play, is a lot of Rocket League. So
how good are you?
I'm in Diamond 2. So,
whoa,
that sounds very high.
Above average, but not any of the crazy stuff. It's just relaxing stuff to play. Well, it's something I can focus on while I'm listening to podcasts, because I can't play like shooter multiplayers and listen to a podcast at the same time.
That's fair.
That makes sense. Yeah. Well, you got to teach me how to make the aerial shots. Okay.
Yeah, I can't even do that, and I've been playing probably a couple thousand hours. Hours of Rocket League.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
All right. For me, what is going on? I am apartment hunting with Amanda, where my lease is coming to an end soon, and we actually have an application in. I don't want to give too many details about the place, just in case. For one, if this podcast ever blows up, and we have a million listeners, I don't need people knocking on my doorstep complaining about anything I said about any particular game.
Damn.
And second of all, because, you know, I don't like to announce things before they have fully come to fruition. So we put in an application. Hopefully we get approved. But so I'm looking forward to moving soon. But other than that, I'm just working. In terms of games, I bought Persona 4 Golden this weekend, played very, very little of it, just because I kind of was sucked into Shovel Knight a little more. I've been playing Shovel Knight for the past couple days since it was on sale, and it's actually pretty fun. And it's easy to kind of pick up and put down and play little chunks of.
Wait, you haven't beaten? I thought you beat Shovel Knight.
I have never owned Shovel Knight until a couple days ago.
No,
like,
way.
I've always wanted to buy it, but it's always like, even now, I bought it for $30, which I know it's a fantastic game, but I was always like, $30 is just too much for Shovel Knight in my head for some reason. So I never actually bought it. So finally pulled the trigger. I'm glad I did. It's a fun time. And it seems like there's a ton of content, ton of different characters and stuff included. So, other than that, we're just all waiting for The Last of Us 2. I think we've all kind of seen the initial reactions and stuff, but personally, like after Friday, I basically just kind of, I'm off Last of Us 2 until Thursday, because I want to kind of go in as cold as possible. Arson, are you buying? I know you're getting it, right?
Last of Us Part 2?
Yeah.
You talking about the game that's preloaded on my PlayStation 4 right now?
Oh, damn.
Yeah. We all got it preloaded.
Yeah.
I buy my PlayStation games on my like computer or on my phone for some reason. Just because like when I decide to buy games, I'm never actually on the PlayStation.
I get that. Yeah.
Do I need to turn on? I have to turn on my PlayStation, right?
It's
in sleep mode.
Because you have to press download. Rest,
oh, do I have to press download?
Or I think does it if auto it's download? In rest mode, you can like hit a button on your phone or computer to download it, start the download on your PS4. But
yeah. Okay, but I do need to initiate something.
Yeah. You have to initiate something.
You press the,
I probably got to delete some stuff.
You press the purchase button, and then you have to hit download.
Yeah.
So it's two button presses.
Okay.
It's 75 gigabytes. If you're curious,
75. Yeah, I'll definitely have to delete.
Delete Warzone.
I'm gonna have to delete Warzone, unfortunately, and I'm gonna have to download that bitch all again. 200 gigabytes. Oh my god.
I had a revelation about the Warzone memory size.
Oh wait,
yesterday.
What's your revelation?
It's some sort of marketing strategy where they don't optimize the memory because. If it's one tenth of your hard drive space, they're competing with other battle royales, right? So you're not gonna have more than two or three battle royales on your system at once. So you're gonna keep playing Warzone if you don't have the other one downloaded currently.
That's actually funny. They look at Fortnite download size. They look at PUBG, and they're like, all right, we got to make this shit. Each patch needs to be 80 gigs so that they delete Fortnite.
Oh my
Easy.
God.
Dang, that's 3D chess right there.
I buy it right now. I agree.
Brennan, I know you're excited for Last of Us 2. Do you have any, before we jump into the actual topic, do you have any thoughts about Last of Us 2? I know you're hyped. We know, but
yeah.
What are you feeling right now?
I'm pretty hyped. Normally, I would have lots of thoughts about some game coming out that I'm very anticipated for. This is probably the first time where I haven't watched I read a couple top-level reviews, but I haven't watched a trailer for this game since 2018, I think, whenever that E3 trailer was, when they were in that weird room or whatever and no one knew what was going on. That was the last visual thing that I've seen from this game, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't even really know what the game looks like. Like, I hear the game looks good, but I don't, like, I've seen clips just from previous PlayStation conferences, and they haven't really shown a ton of gameplay up to now anyways. So I don't really know what the game looks like at all. I don't know what the atmosphere is. I just know, like, screen clips and a couple guests from Twitter, but that's it. So I'm super excited. I have a PS4 regular, though, so I'm like, damn, is this the end? Is this going to end my PS4 running this thing?
I am worried about
that
too.
Because it looks pretty intensive. I know you have a PS4 Pro, Brendan.
Yeah, I do.
So you're going to be straight.
It's super... Actually, I think the PS4 Pro is apparently worse because it's designed poorly where it's like crazy loud and like while it performs, has better performance, the actual hardware itself is like performs worse, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I saw like tweets saying like it sounds like a jet engine. The PS4 Pro sounds like a jet engine booting this game up. So I'm like, damn, if that sounds like a jet engine, my shit has to just
that's a spaceship. Quit.
It has to just implode.
That's Millennium
as soon
Falcon.
As I boot the game up.
Yeah, I noticed it with Final Fantasy, like I'll be playing all night and then it'll be dead silent in my apartment when I like ready to turn it off. And then my TV turns off and I turn off the PS4 and it's just like, whoa. That was a lot of white noise going on there.
Oh my god.
Well, hopefully with this this new console that we're about to talk about, that is no more, because guys, we finally have it. The PS5 reveal event has come and gone.
Yes.
And we have a lot of emotions here, so this is how we're going to break it down. Like I said earlier in the episode, we're going to break it down in a couple different categories. We're going to start off with overall thoughts. Each person is going to go around and give their overall thoughts of, on the presentation itself, how they felt coming away with it as a whole. Then we'll talk about the console and how it looks and how we feel about the hardware. And then we'll talk about the actual games that we enjoyed. And then we'll end it with what happens next. Where does PlayStation go from here? How does this position them in the next generation? So I'll go last on these roundtables. I'll let you guys get your opinions out first. So Arson, let me know, how did you feel after the PlayStation 5 reveal event?
I'm in, bro. I'm strapped in to this this next generation. I feel like I'm on a ride at Disney World right now, and mm-hmm. I'm excited to be on it. I plan to enjoy it throughout its time, you know, through the ups and downs that we may see. But I definitely think I'm strapped in, ready for PS5. I think games look pretty solid. The fact that so many games were announced, announced and whatnot, like I'm just like, oh. Like I don't think that there will be a time that I will be bored, especially since these games mm-hmm. are planned to be released over the next couple of years, you know, and as we move forward, even more games are going to get released, yada, yada. So, definitely excited game wise. I know there was a lot of speculation at first about whether or not they would show the box, and when they finally showed that box, that's what did it for me. I was like, that boy, it looks, you know, it's kind of like an acquired taste, almost like a fine wine, you know. You look at it, you're like, what is this? Then you kind of look at it some more, you're like, okay, I can see it. It's looking kind of sleek. It's looking kind of sexy, you know what I'm saying? And then I saw the discless version, and I was like, all right, bro, where's the price? That's all I need to know now. I need to know the price. Okay. However, one, like, I guess drawback from this, I'm still not certain. Like, I don't know how urgent it is for me to get this day one, because mm-hmm. I don't know what's coming day one. Like, am I gonna have a box in my apartment for a couple of months that's just sitting there gathering dust? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. So we'll see. I'll probably have updated expectations on that as, you know, some release dates get announced, but we will see. So yeah, that's my overall.
What's your grade rating?
Oh, definitely an A. Mm-hmm. Like, without mm-hmm. Hands down, that was an A quality conference. I think, especially compared to Xbox, I mean, mm-hmm. Xbox, they did a good job, but
Bro, we don't have to save face here, bro. The inside Xbox, I mean, you know, I guess we'll remember what happened because it was just like, it's kind of like an event that it's like, hey, you're going to fight for us real quick. You're going to be our representative, and you're throwing in somebody who had no idea they were going to be the representative. That's basically what happened to the Inside Xbox, where it was just supposed to be a regular event. And the Xbox marketing team said, hey, nah, you're the next generation showcase. And it's like, the fuck, bro? That's not what I'm built for. So obviously you're going to go in there and get your ass beat. But yeah, like, compared to the Xbox event, it was hands down better. Brendan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'll try to keep it short. I think, in my opinion, it was probably the second best Sony conference they've ever done. Probably I would rank that, since the only one better is the best conference, I think, of all time. So I would say, to me, that was the second best conference of all time. The reason I don't think it's the best, because it didn't have something like The Last of Us Part Two or like a Final Fantasy VII remake announcement. Just for like,
wait, what was your best of? What's the best conference of all time in your opinion?
So the best conference of all time would have to be the E3 2015 Year of Dreams conference. I don't really think of anything that can compute that. My personal favorite is their E3 2013 presentation, solely because of the Kingdom Hearts 3 reveal that kind of came out of nowhere. But
right,
yeah. So, yeah, I think just the sheer amount of games they announced and breadth of different genres is kind of unprecedented, and exclusive that they have. I think like 21 out of 26, well, just that the fact that they announced 26 games. Well, I guess if you mm-hmm. include like 2K, it's not really an announcement, but yeah, 26 games is pretty crazy when you think about it in one press conference. And 21 of them were exclusive. They're just games that didn't make any sense as to why they're exclusive, but somehow they're exclusive to start out the gen.
Right.
Or like,
right.
Usually like these third parties might start creating exclusive games going halfway through the gen when they realize that like one console is dominating the other and it has a crazy amount of market share. So it doesn't make sense, or it makes sense to do that deal. So I really don't understand the business logic so far, why some of these games are exclusive for the PS5.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
Nobody does. The only answer has to just be money. Just like hella money.
I don't know. Or they're factoring the historical sales of Xbox One and just, I don't know.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm with Brendan, where right after the showcase, for something like, I was also on call this week. So I feel like I didn't enjoy it as much as if I was completely free from any stresses. But watching it, after finishing watching it, I thought it was the best showcase I had ever seen in gaming in general. And for a while I thought that, but after a couple days, I kind of processed it, and I'm still with Brendan where I say, I think it was a great showcase. It was one of the best Sony showcases. And I give it an A. And I think in terms of production value, for sure, it was the best showcase that I've ever seen. With the exception of maybe that year that they had like the live orchestra for Last of Us Part Two and Ghost of Tsushima and stuff. That was great. But as a viewer at home, this was the best production, where I don't have to see people walk on stage. I don't have to see people talk. It was literally just like, hey, trailer, 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 some really cool graphic, trailer, some guy talking for 30 seconds, trailer, trailer, which is as much as I could have ever asked. So production, I think it was one of the best showcases for a consumer that's watching at home. In terms of engagement, I think it was one of the best showcases that I've seen, where every game they showed, for the most part, probably like 85 to 90% of the games they showed, I was interested in. So I was engaged the whole time. I was hooked. They, like Brendan Schitt said, they showed tons of games. I was not expecting the console reveal at all, so I think that was exciting, and there was a lot of talk about it, and they really kind of set expectations. We're like, yeah, don't expect to see the console. We're talking about games, and they ended up showing it, which was super awesome. But I think my only gripes is like coming out of it, like we did see a lot of we saw like Miles Morales, we saw some other Ratchet and Clank, but when we look at the first parties, the actual Sony produced first parties, it was like pretty typical of a launch year. It wasn't really the greatest conference of all time in terms of that. So that would be my only kind of like, that was all right. And then the other thing is, the one thing that I just like came out of this conference thinking is like the whole narrative, like the console warring and like all the questions about, you know, this is better, that is better, you know, that's going to happen all the time. That's fine. But there's been one argument about like the Series X is supporting the Xbox One versus the PlayStation 5, like, you know, is being like hard stop. You need this as soon as it launches. I'm like, this conference in terms of like, we believe in generations, like I don't have any problem with that, but I just feel like this conference didn't show me anything that was like, you guys pushing this agenda of we believe in generations so hard. Like all the games that were shown seem like they could essentially be run on PlayStation 4, with the exception of Ratchet and Clank, which was like my favorite game. But like Spider-Man Miles Morales looks like it's running on the Spider-Man or the PlayStation 4 engine they used. Legend of Kenna is a cross-gen title.
I think the Spider-Man
is going to be on PS4.
I think Spider-Man, there's a lot of rumors that it's cross-gen, or no one knows.
Yeah,
it hasn't been
confirmed,
but definitely people think that it might be cross-gen.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the point of, like, the fact that, like, we're coming out of it, and, like, in terms of the launch titles, I'm talking specifically of the launch titles, but, like, you look at like the first year, I mean, we don't know the dates of Horizon and Ratchet and Clank, and it could come early next year or mid next year. We don't know. But looking at the titles that are coming out in that first year, I'm like, literally, you guys could have put it on PS4. Like, it doesn't seem like anything you guys have shown yet really is like that impressive in terms of like the hardware. Like, yes, it'll look better. Yes, it'll be snappier in terms of like load times and stuff, but Ratchet and Clank was like the thing that was taking advantage of the system. Forza is like probably going to be, or not Forza, Gran Turismo is probably going to be one of those games that is taking advantage of the system. But other than that, I'm like, the indie games were great, but they didn't seem like they were taking advantage of the hardware, which hopefully we'll get more information about as like we get more information in August. But that's the only thing where I'm like, the narrative of we believe in generation seems like it's going against, like, I get it. I get why you do it. You need people to buy PS5s, but I feel like we could have seen something else that said, hey, look at this. This is why you need a PS5 because of this hardware. So that being said, I think in the end, it's always about the games anyways. And regardless of if they could be played on PS4 or not, I think they looked really good. And if I can only play them on PS5, whether by design or hardware limitations, I'm excited about that. So great, great presentation. And I think Sony did everything they needed to coming out of the gate for next generation. So we got the console. We got the look at this boy. And every reaction that I've seen, there's no reaction where somebody's like, oh, yeah, this is it. We knew this. We knew everybody is shocked. Everybody has an adverse reaction. Arson, tell me what you feel about this boy.
The box itself.
Yes, the box itself, the hardware, the accessories too, whatever you want to touch on, that final reveal of the hardwares.
For me, I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, my positive outlook on life or whatever you want to call it. I like the box. I think it looks good. I think it's very different from previous iterations of any of the PlayStations that we've had before. Like, you know, having a more, I want to say the curved nature, it brings something new, but I guess the PlayStation 3 also had that, but it was a very simple curve, almost like
grill-like.
That had
George Foreman
that George Foreman look to it. This one, you know, it pulled a lot of jokes. I mean, people calling it, saying it looks like a router. They're like, hey, I got a PS5 already. Like, you know, like shit like that, which I think, you know, the jokes are funny, haha, but I think it still looks good. Like, you know, nobody's, like, I don't think for the most part people are like looking at routers and are just like, especially going crazy, like, oh my God, this router's so ugly, or like, you know, isn't it, you know, routers don't get shit on a day-to-day basis. So I think that the PS5 does look pretty good. In terms of the controller, definitely, I'm still a big fan of it. I don't think that hasn't changed since it was first announced. That new little tidbit information we found out about how, like, the surface of it has, like, the little symbols, the PlayStation symbols etched into it. That,
oh, yeah, that I saw that. That's really cool.
That is really cool. I definitely like that a lot. And I guess the last thing, the media remote. I'm like, bro, I guess they forced some intern to make that one. They said, yeah, we got to have a media remote. So in case, you know, your mom, your dad are trying to use the PS5 to watch Blu-ray, then they'll be able to do it without having to. Well, how do I use the
controller? How do I use the controller?
Yeah, it's a fucking controller, bro. Like, just use the left stick. Come on. But
wait, but how do you feel about the digital versus
physical? Very excited for that. I think it's you know, interesting. Since what was that? Xbox One did that, right? For this last generation.
In a way, they did it. Took a very more extreme, we're really gonna fuck ourselves up with this strategy type approach. PlayStation is giving you the option. Xbox One originally did not have any option. Oh, that's
right. That is right. Yeah, so definitely, I think PlayStation learned from Xbox's mistake, decided they wouldn't do anything like that. But I don't know. It makes me kind of curious for, you know, future generations down the line. You know, maybe PS6, PS7. Will we have all digital only going down
the line? Do you have a preference?
No, I mean, I don't really have a preference per se.
Like, which one are you getting, I guess?
I think I'm definitely going to get the digital.
Oh, really?
Since it's same specs, right? Like, there's no dip. And so I think I'll get digital because at this point in my life, I've kind of stopped. Like, I don't remember the last. Oh, yeah, I guess the last physical game I got was God of War. And that was only because I was able to find a cheap version of it on eBay. And that, now I was just trying to save a buck on that. But other than that, I buy everything digitally. So,
yeah.
No more Brandon, sales for me.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you got digital sales, but we'll see. We'll see how this affects Sony digital sales in the future. But how you feeling, Brendan?
I really like the box overall. So I've owned every PlayStation back to the PS1 except for the Vita. And my entire life, since I was like 6 years old, I've wanted this futuristic looking box. And every time it's just another box, this black box. And we finally got it. So, I mean, I guess I can't complain. The one thing that drives me crazy on it is like the lack of symmetry. I can't stand that.
For sure.
Having to look at that is what's like gonna cause me to go crazy. The actual overall look I like the white on black. The controller, I love the controller. It's just like the symmetry on the box, which is almost, I want the physical one just so I can play my PS4 games. But I might have to get the digital just because of the symmetry issue. And even then, the digital still has symmetry problems.
Does it?
So if you go like vertical, I believe, top to bottom, it's different. And then like if you lay it horizontally, it still looks weird, I think. Yeah. I don't know. It's just the shape, I guess, that I have an issue with. But I still like it. And I love the futuristic look regardless.
Yeah. Basically everything that Brendan said. So for me, I think like I am now understanding. I'm the type of person to where I see like a hardware reveal or something like that. If it's different, I'm gonna immediately have like a adverse reaction to it where I was like, what the fuck? Like, bro, what is this? This just looks like nothing I've ever seen before. I think the disc drive also, like the asymmetry was really kind of grinding on me when I first saw it during the first reveal, and it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. But as I started to look at the all digital edition more, and as I started to look at the console in general more, I started to like it a lot more. And now I'm like a fan of it for the most part. Same with the controller. I'm a big fan of the controller now. When I first originally saw it, I was just like, what the fuck? This is not a PlayStation controller. But now I'm like, especially with all the features and the vibration feedback, haptic feedback, all that good stuff that it has, I'm really excited about it. I think the asymmetry is the one thing that's getting at me, because I feel like I need to buy the disc drive, because what if I fuck up and I need a disc drive for whatever reason, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I need to get the disc drive for one. So I really want the digital for symmetry purposes, but right now I'm leaning towards the disc drive because I have 8 physical PS4 games, one including God of War. And my biggest nightmare is like getting the digital PS4 or PS5 and having them release like some super enhanced God of War version that I want to play, and I'll never be able to play it. So that's the one thing that's holding me back from leaning towards the digital. And then the other thing is, this thing is fucking huge. It is really, really big. And I've already measured it. And this shit's not fitting. Like, it'll fit sideways in my media, like, little thing I have in my apartment. But it's not standing. I got to put it up on the floor. And I can't lay it sideways because the shit looks way too weird on its side. So that's my only thing where it's like, it's fucking huge. Even the Xbox, I don't think it'll fit in my media stand standing up, which I also want to stand that up, right side up. So, yeah, both these consoles, bro, with their size, doing a little too much. The PlayStation is a girthy boy.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it's kind of cool.
Mine has to go sideways too, and I'm not happy about that.
I kind of expected that.
It's kind of necessary. I just wish that it didn't look so terrible sideways.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, my other thing is like, if I have it sideways and I can I stack another console? Can I put a Switch stand or an Xbox Series X on top of that?
I don't think so. It's super sloped.
Airflow.
I don't even think it will balance on it. Because you have to have a stand just to have it sideways.
Oh, true, true. Yeah, bro. This is gonna definitely spark some memes once both these consoles are in people's hands, bro.
I will say one thing that it like very intrigued me was the fact that the Xbox Series X is the most bland is probably a negative content word, but it's the most it's just the most box ever of a console, the most bland box ever, which is what they were going for, and that I guess that's fine. Just it's interesting where there's nothing really to say about the Xbox Series X box itself. It's just a box, and then there's everything to say about the PS5. It's interesting that they're both just completely went for the complete opposite design spectrums.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting because I remember you were mentioning, like, way before we knew the box, you were mentioning that, like, somebody had a quote. I don't know if it was Shuhei Yoshida or somebody who was basically like, why do you care about the box? It's just a box.
Yeah, this was
like, this is kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, that was for the PS4 back. It was sometime between February when the in 2013 when the PlayStation meeting was in E3. And everyone was like clamoring about, where's the box? Where are they going to show it at E3? And then Shu did an interview and they asked him, he's like, why do you guys care about the box so much? It's just going to look like a box. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, and the PS3 or PS4 kind of did go with that design principle where it's very stealthy. I still kind of, I like the sleekness of the PS4 a lot. Even still, I would say it's probably one of my favorite looking consoles, unless we're talking wacky like the GameCube or the Xbox 360 Slim. But it's very interesting that they built it and they knew that it was built to get reactions from people. I'm excited to see how they release like special editions and stuff for it. Apparently it's customizable, meaning like the faceplates can be swapped or something like that. So
interesting.
That'll be cool.
How are they gonna monetize the special editions though?
They'll probably have like, I don't know, dude. That's what people are interpreting from like a UX designer saying it may not have swappable faceplates. I don't know.
Did you hear the story?
There will most certainly. Go ahead.
Did you hear the story where this some exec like flew to Japan? I think he said in February, and like he was in Sony headquarters on like some high floor, and they took him through like three or four rooms with like key card access, and then they took him into a vault. And then the PS5 was standing there, like as seen in the video, like with light shining on it, like on a like museum sculpture thing.
That's a pretty, like, I don't remember hearing that story, but that is a, oh, I guess he probably just told it because it just got shown. But that's like, that's so sick. Like, I feel like that's what I like about PlayStation and hearing these stories come out where I'm like, dang, they're very like business oriented, but when it comes to this stuff, I'm like, that's sick. Whereas Microsoft, I feel like they're like the culture is like fucking Xbox Series X's are just laying around in the Microsoft building.
Yeah.
Like that's what it feels like at least.
Yeah.
I know that's not the case, but it just feels like people know shit about the Xbox and all of their plans way before anything happens. Like there's no secrecy or stealthiness to anything they do. But
yeah, the crazy like fans treat PlayStation like a religion. The crazy part is like Sony themselves also treat PlayStation as like this sacred, I mean the sacred symbol. They just treat it all sacred. It's kind of weird. I don't know why that culture actually exists within that company, but I don't know. It has pros and cons.
I mean it definitely does a lot for the brand, so that's cool. But we'll learn more about the consoles and kind of like we saw a little bit of the UI. We'll see a full new UI overhaul in the future, allegedly. No pixel untouched. But let's talk about the bread and butter of this presentation, the games. Arsene, hit us with your impression. Any game that struck a chord, either good or bad or however you're feeling.
Yes,
let
sir.
Us know.
So I kind of have, let's see. Honestly, I think all the games, you know, touched me in some type of way. You know, I was like, wow, you know, just because, you know, new stuff is always cool. But some of the ones that, like, really stuck out with me, okay, obviously, Spider-Man, Miles Morales. We want to see.
Let's talk about it for a second.
Let's talk about it for a second. We want to see Miles' story. There were a lot of, like, you know, not cliffhangers, I'd say. I guess it's considered a cliffhanger. At the end of Spider-Man 2018, I won't exactly go into it. You know, I don't really want to spoil it for the folks at home. But, you know, really makes you want to see what's going to happen, you know, in the future with the story. So it'll be exciting seeing how we learn more from that story and hopefully, I guess, see a little bit more new story from Miles' perspective this time and maybe see why the heck are we playing as Miles in the first place in the story.
Big facts.
I don't know. Did you guys have anything about that game that you guys really that hit you?
Spider-Man PS4 is one of my favorite games in general. I mean, the Spider-Man franchise and video games. Spider-Man PS2 is one of my favorite games in general. So when I saw this, instant hype. I did not expect to see a Spider-Man game. And regardless of like if it's the same game or if it's new engine, they didn't show us much gameplay. Like they showed us very, very brief gameplay because I think that they didn't want us to look at it and say, this is the same fucking shit. They didn't want to be called out right then and there. So they only showed us kind of really quick snippets and then kind of like the CGI, not CGI, but like the in-game cinematic type moments. But that being said, I don't give a fuck. It could, like, if this released on PlayStation 4, this would still probably be one of my favorite games of this year. So I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, cool. I'm excited for Spider-Man. I think my takeaway is just that was probably the biggest surprise or like the biggest moment of the conference because no one was expecting it. And I think the interesting thing to me is that Sony must have gone, because it's a smaller game, so Sony must have gone to them like right as Spider-Man was releasing or even before, or just like, we have to have a Spider-Man for the launch of the PS5. Like, that's what we're going with our launch title. We know you can't make a full-fledged sequel in that time, but we want like a smaller expansion to be the launch title back in 2018. I mean, it had to be at least that.
They had to have talked. They probably had this timeline where it was like, this is the Spider-Man game, and then Spider-Man Miles Morales is probably in development as Spider-Man is being launched or something like that. They had to. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be cool to see how it turns out and how the story connects and everything.
I'm very curious to see how long it will be. I know it is a standalone, but like, you know, the fact that it's, you know, they're using all this, you know, terminology, like, oh, it's kind of like this expansion-ish type game. I do want to know, like, you know, how much worth am I getting out of this? Because I'm assuming it's going to be fully priced. Like, you know, the full
$40 is what people are speculating. $40.
Okay, interesting, interesting. Well, in that case, make it as long as you want, Insomniac. I don't care.
Well, it'll be five hours of story, 20 hours of screwball challenge content.
Hell yeah. You gotta love that screwball content. All right, let me just do a little quick, like, little rundown of some of the other games. I want to bring up some of the ones that I think you guys might not cover, just so that way we can, get around the whole game list. Pragmata, whatever, that weird, almost reminding me of like a Kojima style game that was announced near the end. That one looks interesting to me. I'm very interested to see, like, I didn't understand what was happening. Like, why are we on Earth? Why are we in a city? Why are we on the moon all at the same time? Why did the sky break? I have all these questions and I need the answers to them. So definitely looking forward to Pragmata. Let me see, the Demon Souls. I think everybody knew it was coming. You know, there have been a lot of talk of the remake coming for some time. I'm definitely not the biggest Souls fan. You know, I'm still trying to make my way through the final boss on Sekiro.
Don't you owe me, like, oh, you don't owe me money, but I don't owe you. How does that work?
You don't owe me money. Oh, wait, no, I owe you like $10, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're
true.
Not getting that money. You're going to forget. No,
I'm playing. Yeah, I sure will.
If you remember, I'll give you your money. But, yeah, so Demon's Souls, I will be interested since a lot of people seem to like it. I guess, like, Jose was, like, a big fan of it, and that's pretty much the only person I know. So a lot of people are looking forward to Demon's Souls, including myself. That Ghostwire Tokyo game, that one was kind of mixed opinions for me because it, like, visually it looked kind of whack, bro. Not gonna lie, I think everybody agrees. I was like, bro, this looks like a
it ran on PS2.
It
looked questionable.
It was pretty questionable, but
visually cool. But I agree that it, like, wasn't wow, but, like, it was the people, I don't know what was going on, but, like, the people with, like, puppet things, which Deathloop had the same thing going on, but this was more just like they didn't look like people. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. I just rewatched this trailer last night, and I thought visually, like, all the colors and everything that was going on was cool. I just have no idea what this game is.
I do want to play it, though. I think that is hopefully a game that, you know, reviews well, and people say this is actually pretty good, so that way I have a chance to play it. Just from that one scene where the dudes, like, jump off the tower.
I was literally about to say that shit.
Bro, this is the most... What? Like,
That's like the one clip that was like, all right, this is why you should still be interested in this game. Look at these motherfuckers just fall off the fucking skyscraper. I'm like, okay, I can get down with that.
They could have shown me Kingdom Hearts gameplay and said, this is what the game's gonna be, and then have Sora, Riku, all them in there. And then they put those dudes jumping off the building. I would have been like, yeah. I would still have.
That's literally what the fuck Kingdom Hearts is now, bro.
You're right.
Like, they give you the gameplay, and then they're like, wait, at the end of the game, here's
what
this 4K cutscene about the next game.
This might be in phase two.
I can't believe they cut.
That's true. Ghostwire Tokyo.
I can't believe they cut Melody's memory from the conference. I should have been a heavy hitter there. You kidding me?
I know, right? People would have been going crazy.
I would have stood up. I would have left my apartment. but yeah, that's kind of I have a couple more, but I believe you guys will be covering those, so I'll let you guys take care of these bad boys.
What are your highlights, Brendan?
Pragmata, or I don't know, however you pronounce it, that would be probably the highlight for me. I mean, that's like exactly my type of game, sci-fi, space, Kojima, you have no idea what's going on.
Wait, which one is this?
The Pragmata one that
Pragmata. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But there just wasn't. I had no idea what was going on, and there was barely anything you could take from it other than this is like a Kojima-esque sci-fi game in space that's years away. So, if it wasn't for that, it would probably be what I was most excited for. I thought Returnal looked very cool. Similar. Like, have you guys ever seen Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a fantastic.
This looks like Edge of Tomorrow, the game.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And it is Housemarque, or Housemarque, I think. And I don't think they ever made a AAA game like this, so it does kind of, at least the gameplay, looks kind of AA as they're like their first. Gives me the Order 1886 vibes of where they might be out of their element or something, which concerns me, but. It looks like it could be really good, so I'm very hopeful for that game. And the setting and what the story is about seems really cool. So that one was good, and then Goodbye Volcano High, also very excited about. And that's like a standard indie game. There's nothing like special about that with the PS5. But
I will say, like. And regarding Goodbye Volcano High, I saw a video where somebody was like, yeah, if you showed me this trailer and said, yeah, this shit's coming to Disney Plus or Netflix in a couple months, I would 100% believe it. Yeah. I'm like, that's very accurate.
It's funny to say that. That's almost exactly what I was about to say. Because the one thing I want to point out with that game is I don't think I've ever seen a game like that where I just don't even recognize that this is a video game. Like, even the other...
Was it a video game?
Yeah, like, even the other story, like, Life is Strange, like, or... what's Heavy Rain, like, those games, like, you still... The same video game style design. Whereas this just looks like an animated show. Like, I don't understand how this is a game, but I'm very much intrigued and love these sort of artsy, animated, coming-of-age shows. So, it's got me invested, at least so far. And the song in it was awesome, so.
It was good.
Yeah. I guess those are the three off the top of my head that I wanted to point out. I guess they're the Square Enix game. I have nothing to say about that other than we'll be seeing that bad boy 2026, 2027. It's going to be a good game.
The end of the generation. Accurate. It'll be great. Yeah. Personally, for me... Just the ones that I'm not going to dive too deep into, but Spider-Man obviously looked great. Little Devil Inside, I don't know what the game actually is, but the tone of the game looked really cool. It kind of reminded me of like Wes Anderson.
Yes-ish.
Of course, right after the conference, somebody had to grab a clip and say, "Hey, they got some racist characters in here." Right, I'm like, dang, we really can't have nothing, can we? So people were calling it out for that, but apparently it's going to be fixed and stuff like that. So glad that got resolved. Horizon 2 looked fantastic, but we didn't see much of the actual game. But the engine looks, you know, phenomenal. So I'm excited about that. And Deathloop, once again, looked kind of like a a successor to Dishonored with a little more action elements as opposed to stealth. So I'm totally awesome to that. Or it might be like kind of like a choose your own strategy path. And I'm very excited on how Arkane kind of tackles the gameplay mechanic, because I feel like they're really great at level design and game mechanics. So excited about that. Two games of the show for me would be Legend of Kenna, which I thought looked beautiful, and was probably one of my favorite, or in my opinion, one of the best looking games that they showed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out this holiday, so this is definitely going to be one of the launch titles that I'll have for the PS5. And then also, of course, my favorite game, Ratchet and Clank. I'm just a fan of the franchise, and I feel like they clearly showed as much as possible for this specific game to try and convince people, hey, this is like what the PS5 hardware, this is what the PS5 hardware can really do. So I enjoyed it. I agree. I know there's some dissenting voices here in this fucking call. I know Arson has thoughts. I don't know if Brendan has any crazy thoughts, but I'm sure he has thoughts.
We're still talking about Ratchet?
I've always been... Yeah.
Yeah. I think Ratchet looks awesome. I'm excited. I just like messing around with Ratchet because I personally like Sly and Jack better, but I think it looked awesome for the launch PS5.
Objectively.
Yeah.
Arson, you hear that?
I still think it continues to look... basic. You know, it looks like a Ratchet and Clank game, and I think it looks good for the PS5. And I think it will be a good game, but for me personally, I feel a little bit burnt out on that type of that style of gameplay, which, you know, may in a way it seems very similar to the other, you know, like Sony platformers. You know, you have your running and jumping, but I guess this one has like you know, the shooting aspect to it. But
yeah.
I don't know. I guess because of the fact that we haven't seen some of the other ones in a while, I guess like an example being Sly and Jack, that kind of like makes me feel like, well, maybe we could get a little attention on these guys.
Yeah.
Before we move back to Ratchet and Clank, because Ratchet and Clank will always be there. I don't think it'll ever, you know, go out of style, as we can tell by you guys saying, yeah, this game is fucking amazing or shit like that. So I don't think they have to worry about Ratchet and Clank leaving the public's, like, you know, mind. But, you know,
for me, it was the rifting that grabbed me as some, like, stood out versus just the stand, because Ratchet and Clank that really grabbed me, but the gameplay and visual aspect of the whole rifting thing was pretty unique.
Yeah.
I thought it looked really cool.
Arson's over here comparing me to a fucking Call of Duty stand, talking about, you guys will just keep buying it, so it'll never leave the public eye. Shut your...
Oh, I don't mean to. I'm not trying to disrespect nobody in this, because I think, like, there's potential for me to also, you know, play this game still. Like,
right.
It can. But, like, that Rift thing, it just didn't get me, bro, because I was like, bro, like, I just feel like I've seen stuff like that before in previous Ratchet games. Like,
you've seen fake shit. You've seen the fake version.
Is this secretly a CGI portal game? Is this a Portal game?
No. They should. I want them to remake Portal. Put it on PS5. But no, I mean, like, for the Rift itself, like, sure, I guess the previous one looked like CGI or whatnot. But and this one is supposed to be, you know, actual five different worlds running at the same time. But, like,
yes, sir.
What's the fucking point, bro? I'm not gonna be in all five worlds at the same time. Like, how
bro,
can
you don't know,
I can't
bro.
Physically exist in five planes of existence. Can you right now? Can you?
But like, imagine, bro. Imagine just like jumping through. Imagine. Okay, I'll set the scene. Of course, I'm gonna set a scene that will never fucking happen, and then the game is gonna look worse than what I'm about to tell you.
Damn.
But imagine just like, you know, you can play as the girl Ratchet, right?
Yeah.
Imagine you're in a boss fight, but Ratchet and the girl Ratchet are fighting two different boss fights at the same time, and as you're fighting the boss fights, they're swapping universes, like. Like tagging, teaming off to like different bosses and shit like that. Like, do you see the picture that I'm trying to paint here? Does that make sense?
That's pretty cool, but like,
I feel like it could be cool.
I mean, but it doesn't seem like a groundbreaking like idea of being able to switch between like dimensions during a boss fight, though.
I mean, but there was no load times, though.
If the game is making you ask these philosophical questions, then it's probably a pretty awesome game, I have to say.
We'll see. I mean, yeah.
I do want to, I mean, I'm not going to completely shut this game down.
I mean,
what was that?
You're questioning whether you can be in multiple planes of existence at once.
There you go. I mean, it's already taken the conversation of games to the next level.
That is true. So I will hold out hope for Ratchet and Clank. And I'll also hold out hope for Ratchet Deadlock 2.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see if we get it. I will
give
say,
me that game and I'll buy all the Ratchet merch right now. I'll buy all the games. Please.
Right. I mean, I'm already sold, but I will say I'm kind of bummed that we don't have, I mean, I guess we do have it somewhere, but I couldn't find like a cutout snippet of the actual gameplay segment in 4K. The actual gameplay trailer is in 4K, but they didn't upload a individual gameplay segment in 4K, which I'm like, damn, like that's the one where I actually wanted to see like everything in 4K. Like I've watched this trailer over a lot of times. I've watched the entire conference over probably 3 or 4 times, just looking at people's reactions and shit while I'm working. But like, there's a lot, like once I watch the gameplay, there's a lot of like really nice particle effects going on. A lot of like really small details that I didn't see the first time. And it's hard to see when you rewatch it in 1080p, just because it's kind of hard to make out that stuff. So I think once we actually get it, shit's going to look amazing. And I'm excited to see other games like Horizon that kind of take advantage of, like, I really, like, we've been talking about this for a while in the Discord, but like when we talk about the SSD and the capabilities, like I'm very excited to see those games like Ratchet and how Horizon and stuff take advantage of that, because you know, fast load times is nice, but I want to see that cool diet, like that crazy stuff that everybody's been talking about. So
yeah, I think Horizon, will, you were mentioning earlier that there weren't a lot of things that felt like they could only run on the PS5. I think clearly Horizon will be that. It's just the trailer was mainly just an announcement trailer, so we didn't like see anything. But I did get the vibe from 100%. The trailer that like all of the different biomes that you go to and everything, that it's going to be probably the biggest open world game ever or up there.
I totally agree. I think there are a lot of like Horizon, even like, you know, maybe, I guess Resident Evil is cross-platform, so it's not going to take advantage of the PS5 specific architecture, but for sure Horizon, I have no doubt will take advantage of that. But just like stuff in the first year, I'm not fully convinced yet, which I could be proven wrong. Like we still have time to see more games in August, so jury's still out there. But I want to like get ready to wrap the show up with one question for you guys. How are you guys feeling now that you've finally seen everything? You've seen the games, you've seen the console. We don't have a price yet. We don't have a release date yet. I think the answer is pretty unanimous for the rest of us, but are you invested in the PS5, the future of PS5? And how close to you are you being sold on day one? Like, I think it's pretty easy to say me and Brendan are both getting the console day one. I know Arson said he had reservations, but what is your reading right now? What do they need to show you leading up to the actual launch to stay on track? Arson?
I need maybe one or two more games that I'm like, you know, for sure that I want, I guess I should say, that have like, you know, that launch date or the launch window release dates attached to them. Once I like actually see those dates, you know, this is the day it's coming out, then I'll be like, okay, that'll push me more towards it. Wanting to get it day one. And then Tokobot 2, bro. Just give me Tokobot 2. I will buy 2 PlayStation 5s.
Does the price matter to you at all?
No, price doesn't matter to me. I definitely don't think it does, but don't tell Angelique I said that.
Damn, he said, dang, carte blanche. I don't care what the fiance says.
But yeah, I think the price, just because I am getting the digital version as well, I think, you know, that being able to alleviate some of that cost, even though it may not be that much, you know, anything is better than nothing. So
yeah,
as long as it's not $1,000, I'll say that.
That's true. I mean, it could be. We'll see.
I think probably this is my most anticipated PlayStation launch. I was pretty excited for PlayStation 4, but the launch of the PS4 really just had third-party, like, watchdogs, which I don't even think was launch, but just random, like, Assassin's Creed, the sports games, and I have Killzone.
Yeah.
And this conference, I mean, I can't, I already said this at the beginning, there's 26 games with 21 exclusives. Most of them, presumably, are coming out by the end of 2021, maybe early 2022. Like, there are only like two or three that actually listed 2022 or later.
Dates. Yeah.
So, games wise, I mean, almost every game we saw, except for like maybe Gran Turismo, or I'm just not really into racing games like that. I'm at least either like super stoked for want to play, or I'm at least like intrigued and want to see more and would be interested in the game. So I don't think I've ever been like seen a conference and just had that many games that I'm just like, wow, I'll play all of this or want to play all of this. So yeah, I don't know what to say much other than that. Price for me doesn't matter.
What do you?
I don't think.
What's on, like, in terms of Sony's Warpath, what are I know you don't need anything else to convince you, but if you said, okay, these are the things that I really want to see before launch, what would they be?
To see before launch. So, price doesn't matter to me. For their success, I think it matters. I mean, PlayStation's just a top hobby for me, so it could be a $1,000 console, I'll still buy it. And fortunate situation where I can buy a $1,000 console. So for me, that doesn't matter, but everyone else is going to be upset if it's over $500, which rightfully so. That's $599, the historic. There's a reason for why the console failed then. So price is important.
How important is the UI to you?
I think the UI is important for selling certain aspects of what they're trying to market with the SSD and how it integrates with the games. And because the UI is going to showcase the speed of one, booting up the console and getting into the game, probably the biggest thing.
Right.
But they can go beyond that and have other integrations with the system UI, with game UIs, which might actually help development. Those types of things where they can share resources and not have to like rebuild certain aspects of UIs for their games if they can be used through the system UI. But I don't know, that, I mean, that's not super important. I think just the speed stuff and integration is what's important for what they're trying to market. The one other thing I think, or it's two other things I have. One is they have to up the quality of PS Now. Not, I guess not necessarily at launch, but they have to do that sometime towards the beginning of the life of the PS5, the quality of PS Now to compete with Game Pass. And then two, I would hope, but I guess this is probably the least important, is better backwards compatibility. I think the Astrobot thing, Playroom, the people pulling from that means that there will be other backwards compatibility, because the Astrobot game is him in the console with the four different components of the PS5, and each world is presumably a different one of the PlayStations. So people have kind of pulled from that there will be other backwards compatibility. Okay. I don't know if I believe that, but
it sounds like a reach a little bit.
It's definitely a reach. But I'm hoping that there's something more than just PS4. But honestly, I probably won't ever use it, because let's be honest, we don't ever actually play those games, even though we say we want to.
Right. That's a good point. Will we actually play them?
Yeah.
To close it out here, I am convinced. I think Spider-Man Miles Morales convinced me to pick up the PS5. Legend of Kenna also convinced me to pick up the PS5. If I was not, like Brendan said, in the position where I was going to buy the PS5 regardless. I have the money to buy both consoles. If I wasn't, I'd probably still be kind of on the fence. I probably still would need either one or two more games at launch, or 100%, like Brendan said, I would need PS Now to be... have a promise at least of it getting beefed up over the next year. Like when I look at these games in this presentation, it's really nice, but in reality, I feel like this shit happens all the time where I'll see a game like Hitman 3 and I'll be like, oh man, that looks so cool. I can't wait to play that. And I just don't buy the shit because there are games like Cyberpunk there are games, there are third-party games and stuff that I'm going to be playing and spending my time on anyways, and I'll be like, oh, I'll just wait for it to go on sale, which is why I feel like, especially with all the games they showed, I feel like PS Now can have a huge opportunity here to be like, hey, look, like, this is time exclusivity, but these games are all going to come to PS Now eventually, or something to that extent. I think that would be awesome, because even though a lot of them look awesome, I'm not going to buy all of these games, even the ones that I like, just because I don't have time to play all those, and there's no reason for me to pay full price for something that I won't play immediately. So I think the biggest thing for me is having PS Now get beefed up, not even Game Pass levels, just maybe some more third parties or some more timely third parties. Other than that, the UI is a nice bonus, but if it looked exactly the same, I wouldn't have any problem, as long as it was a little snappier, and the Wi-Fi card in the hardware is better. And yeah, the price doesn't really matter to me either, but I think it'll be really exciting to finally see how much it's priced. I think all digital will be 500, base CD disc will be 600, but we'll see. Yeah, man, very exciting times. Very exciting times. It feels like this was the first real E3 event that we've gotten.
I think it's going to be the only one. For the Xbox. You
know, debatable.
One thing I wanted to add on that I thought of about the Xbox stuff with their marketing team is that they have this huge Sony conference with 26 games, and then maybe they had one good conference that they split out into two. And if they had beefed it out where like they have four or five first parties, I don't know, who maybe they have a crazy show in July, I don't know. But if it is just like four or five first parties that they're ready to show in July, then that's probably going to get poo-pooed on as well. But if they just had one show and had sprinkled these third parties in between these great first party games that they do have, I don't know, they might have shot themselves in the foot here. I'm interested to see what happens in July with their show.
Why does this keep happening to them?
I truly think that the Inside Xbox games were never supposed to be into the E3 showcase. I think just the fact that they solely were built to also run on the Series X is why they marketed that way, and that was a total flop on them. But I 100% agree. If they come out and show nothing, and they could have thrown in Scarlet Nexus and all this other shit in there to kind of beef up the event, they fucked up. But trust me, they're going to need a lot. Like, even if the first parties are bad, like, the Scarlet Nexus and all this other shit would have not saved it. And I somewhat blame Assassin's Creed for the failure of that Inside Xbox. It would have still been bad, but the Assassin's Creed hype was just, makes no sense to me why they thought that was a good idea. So Phil Spencer, we haven't heard from him for a while, except for a couple tweets and a couple like scripted information. So hopefully he's cooking something up. Go ahead.
I have a quick question for both of you. So something that people have been kind of guessing about, who do you think ultimately ends up going first on price after all this? Sony's clearly waiting now. So who do you think makes the move?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. Mm. I really don't know. I feel like Microsoft they could very much announce a price. I feel like they could get a lot of like personal points for either announcing a price or a date in the July event. They don't have to announce both so that they can, you know, still figure things out. But, why even push the date? Like, at this point, you should already know what's going on. Like, the date doesn't really matter. Like, you coming out a week earlier than the PS4 or PS5, isn't going to matter that much as opposed to the price. So, I think Microsoft, I don't know. It's really weird. I feel like Sony might end up going first because Microsoft has an event in July. So, theoretically, it makes sense that they can wait longer for their follow-up event since Sony just had theirs, but I don't know. I'm just going to say Sony just because that's what makes sense to me, but I have no clue.
I think Sony as well. I think they're just going to come out dick swinging, just talking about, look, prices right here. Just flop it right on the table.
$800, bitch.
Yeah, they don't even care. Like, yeah, you.
We already charged you.
Yeah, check your credit card statement right now. So yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I suspect. I think we do put a little bit too much on how much they are competing and like playing a game with each other. That definitely is part of it, no question. But I do think Sony's ready to, if the August other show is true, I assume that that has to be when they reveal the price plus pre-orders then. And so if Microsoft doesn't reveal that information in July, then yeah, I would agree Sony goes first. So that's kind of my view. Sony's just playing around August.
Like Jim Ryan, the like head of PlayStation or whatever, came out and it sounded like he already knew what price it was going to be. I'm sure to some extent they can still be flexible, but it sounded like he already knew the price. So, I don't know. I think they're ready to go in August as well. And Microsoft knows that now because they've come out and said it, and they haven't announced their August event yet. So who knows? We'll be talking about that more in the future. But until then, guys, we're about to close out. Before we close out, though, I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to our player of the game this week. As always, I highlight one person in the gaming community on Twitter who does good stuff that deserves a shout out. So this week I'm shouting out Neo Game Spark on Twitter. Neo Game Spark on his Twitter account, his name says Neo Madaxum, which can't be this man's real name. I refuse to believe that's his real name.
What if it is, bro? But don't disrespect.
Could be. But Neo Game Spark, he's a YouTuber. He reviews game content. He's like a mid-tier YouTuber, but I watched his videos on like the PlayStation Reaction and stuff like that. He has some pretty good takes for a guy just who showed up on my recommendation feed. So go check him out. Maybe we'll be able to get him on the show at some point. Neo Game Spark. Go check out his content if you're a PlayStation fan or a gaming fan in general. With that being said, everybody, it's time to wrap up. Thank you guys for listening to Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes and tell your friends about us. If you want updates on future episodes, have I ever messed that up? I'm sure I have, but
I don't think you messed the ending up.
I've been so close. All right, let's just rewind it.
Real quick before we go. I just want to thank you guys for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
First time, I had a radio show in college, so this is the first time I've done anything.
You had a radio show in college?
I did have a radio show in college. I was all in on music, video games.
Hell
yeah. So it's been a while.
Fun fact about Brendan.
I had all of that. I had a giant mixer, everything. I was in a radio studio. Wild stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like this was one of my favorite episodes so far. So I'm glad you came on, and I think we'll for sure have you on future episodes. Hopefully we'll also be able to get the boy Jonathan on at some point. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, one more take, guys. One more take. Thank you all for listening to Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes and tell your friends about us. If you want updates about future episodes and giveaways, or you want to submit a question to the show, go ahead and follow us on social media at Player Player Pod. Big shout out to the boy Aaron Miller for the intro music. Follow him at The Miller Child on Instagram. You can find me on social media at The Hoop Man. The E is a 3 at The Hoop Man. You can find my co-host here, Arson, as LeakyLeak13 on Twitter or Arson Lockbo on Instagram. Brendan, do you want to plug your social media, or do you want to stay in the shadows?
I'm off the grid. I don't plug social media.
Off the grid. Okay. The grid, all right. Baby. And with that, guys, the episode is done. Until next time, keep gaming. 103.